Bibles, you can turn again to the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 45 to 52. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars, because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed up into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. A couple things I wanted to take note of here as I was looking at this passage this week. We're seeing some familiar themes again. And it reminded me of how the sermon, you know, gives us the opportunity to look deeply into a passage, to think through together the implications of what's being said, just narrow down some thoughts, all right? But in this entirety of this Bible, in all the genres of literature in it, from history to poetry to narrative to letters, we sometimes have to be careful not to lose sight or understanding of what's happening. In a narrative, as we're going through a narrative, this was not meant to be chopped up in a sermon length bits, all right? And it's okay, we do, right? But we want to make sure that we are going along with Mark. Now, Mark has intention. When Mark put these words to paper, he had an idea of where it was going, of how it would unfold, the language he used, the words, the pacing, the details, the lack of details. And if you've kind of been going along here, first I would encourage you, even during this week as we've been going through this gospel, if you think of it, go back a couple chapters in Mark and just read through. You get that sense of what Mark is doing here in a story. Because he has an intention, he has a goal. We're seeing over and over these same things that he wants to understand. Who is Jesus? What is this kingdom that he's talking about? Who is this Jesus in relationship to me and to this world? What is this kingdom in relationship to me and this world? There are some hard questions that are being put forward to us. Questions of faith, of struggle, of loneliness and hardness of heart and inside and outside. And so all these things come together as we go through this marvelous gospel. We're in our passage today, some familiar themes, but I want to think in four points, four kind of main ideas I want to touch on today. One, we want to remember that it is a time and a place for rest. Two, God sees you. Three, God shows himself to us, to you. And four, hard hearts don't see God. We pick up here today with Jesus sending the disciples off in the boat, but he himself staying to dismiss the crowds and to go off on a mountainside to pray. Now this, again, this is picking right up from before the feeding of the 5,000. If you recall in that tale, he had said to the disciples after they came back from this ministry time, when he sent them out, let's go off to a quiet place. He seemed to indicate that he had something for them. He wanted to be with them, apart from these crowds. And so they went across, but of course, the crowds followed him. And so he didn't have that opportunity. So here he has this, hopefully, his chance again. Geographically, thinking if they're in Bethsaida, is the north, very far north, east corner of the Sea of Galilee. So that's likely where they kind of ended up. And it's kind of odd thinking, well, why did you send them off? What I think seems to be happening here is that they were at Bethsaida or outside of it, but they had their boat there. So Jesus got the disciples into there and said, just go up to Bethsaida or whatever, and I'll catch up. So they weren't going across the lake or anything like that. They were probably just going up there, so expecting Jesus to catch up then later. We know from the book of John that Jesus was concerned with this crowd because the crowd seemed to be getting ideas of crowning him as a king. John chapter 6 verse 15 tells us that. Okay, so there's some things going on here that Jesus was seeing and concerned about. And so he sent them off. He sent the crowds off. And finally, he got off by himself to pray and to be with his Father. And so, I think we just need to remember to take note here that there is a time and place for rest. And not, and physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to take that time in our lives. God gives us a rhythm. I think that was the whole point of the 7 days of creation and a Sabbath, was to show us and give us a rhythm of life that will be sustainable and healthy and good. And I encourage you to implement that into your lives whenever you can. And then occasionally, you know what? Get aside and get some rest. We need it. But from there, we come again to some problems, some struggles, right? And then later in that evening, it said that Jesus saw the disciples straining against the wind. So this whole time, how far they had to go, he saw them. Now, again, if you think about this, think about what's happening here. It's nighttime. And on the lake. How did he see them? Right? But that's the point here. He does see. Jesus did see his disciples. God does see us in our struggles. Has anybody here ever struggled? Are you struggling now? Point two, God sees you. He sees. He's not unaware. You're bucking against the wind. You're struggling in whatever area of your life might be, in relationships. You're struggling in your marriage. You're struggling in your relationships with your neighbors. You're struggling with your finances. You're struggling with your health. You're struggling with fears and anxieties. You're struggling with the state of our world, or our nation, or whatever it may be. And you feel like you're bucking against the wind. And you're not going anywhere. And you're wondering, is this boat going to swamp? Am I defeated? Is there hope? It's dark. I don't see me going anywhere. God sees you. He does see you. Were the disciples aware that Jesus was seeing them at that moment? No. They didn't. But he did. And I want you to understand that today. He sees you. Wherever you are, whatever your struggles are, whatever doubts you may have, whatever guilt you may think you're carrying, God sees it. He cares. Throughout this book, I think Mark has been showing us this. It's very fascinating. Jesus, in his compassion and his calling, sees. In chapter 1, he saw Simon and Andrew and called them. He saw James and called him. In chapter 2, he saw Levi. The tax collector called him. He saw the gathered crowd and loved them. He saw the people who surrounded him and referred to them as his mother and his brothers and sisters. Later, we're going to see he sees Peter and rebukes him. He sees his disciples turn away the little children and said, "No, no, no, bring them to me." Our God is a seeing God, and in his compassion and his call, he sees us. And there's nothing that can block his sight. Do you ever feel like you're too far gone, that there's no hope, that he can't see me now, that he doesn't understand what I'm going through now, or I'm too far across this lake for him to see me? I might as well give up. No. God sees you in his love, his compassion, his care. God sees you. And then we have this result of that scene. As he saw his poor disciples out there at the lake, struggling against the wind, trying to get where they were going. And, you know, again, if they're heading kind of north or out there in the middle of the lake and they're trying to get there, if the wind is against them, they're worried because they got a lot of lake behind them. And if that wind starts going, they're going to get a long ways away. So they're straining and straining and straining, not aware that their Lord is indeed seeing them. And so he goes to them. God reveals himself to us. That's what he does. And he went out to them. He's proactive. He doesn't just sit back and wait. It seems like it. I understand. But when it's time to move, he moves. When the time to go, he goes. And as he sees you in your struggles, or your pain, or whatever it may be, we have the assurance that God does reveal when the time is right. Again, I picture those disciples in that lake. They did not have this awareness. For them, the time is right, Lord. Let's go. But when the time is right, God will and does reveal himself here. This passage, I think, in trying to understand, because it's interesting, we read he was going to pass by them. Well, what's that about? Why would he do that? Right? But I think we can hear an echo here. An Old Testament echo. When Moses asked to see God, what happened? He said, "Get in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to pass by you." I can hear that there. He's revealing. He says, "This is me. You can't handle all of it, but I'm going to pass by and show you." In an interesting passage in 1 Kings, Elijah is being pursued by Jezebel. He's running, and God's taking care of him. And then in verses 9-11, he says, "Sam, look, I'm going to pass by here and you will see who is God or not." It's a beautiful picture that whenever God is revealing, he's showing himself, he's going to pass by. And I think that's kind of the image we're getting here, that he's going to pass by them and show them, reveal himself to them again. We've seen already the images of the sea and the chaos, and he's showing again how he is Lord of this. Not only can he command it in a word to be still, he can just walk upon it. Like walking down the street. God is in the business of revealing himself. He shows us himself in nature, in his people, in the things he does. in his compassion, his justice, his mercy, through his people and in history. In our time of darkness, of struggle, God sees us, and he will reveal himself. In fact, he has. And I think that's part of the lesson Jesus is trying to give the disciples over and over. He says, when will you understand? I'm here. This is me. This is me. God does reveal himself. But as we've seen over and over again, and I think as Mark is trying to make us understand, we see that disciples, again, just don't quite get it. And that gives me great hope. I love that, frankly. But we see here that, and of course we have to understand that a hardened heart does not see God. The disciples, in spite of healings and exorcisms and the calming of the waters, and miracles, and people being fed from a little tiny bit, thousands. It says here they didn't understand. And then when God did reveal himself to them, when Jesus did say, here I am, what did they do? Ah! It's a ghost. Now, okay. I'm not going to be too terribly hard on these guys. All right? Frankly, I'm out in the middle of a dark lake with the wind blowing against me and waves pounding on me. And I just see something coming out of the wind there, walking towards me. My first thought is, oh, look it. There's Brad. Hey, Brad. I'm probably thinking along the same lines, okay? So I'm hesitant to be too hard on them. But Jesus comes up and he's closer. He said, see? No, they don't see. Okay, see? Do you see? He gets to the bowl of them. Do you see? And they didn't. They didn't see even then. It's again, we'll talk about this in a minute here, but I don't want to be too hard on them. Because this is crazy. But look how we see here that they didn't understand and their hearts were hard. It's just passive, okay? So we're seeing that they didn't harden their hearts. That in some way, their hearts were hardened. Now, I think there's a couple ways to look at this. One, and we see in Scripture sometimes, we see places where God hardens for his purposes. And I have no problem with that because that's God, right? He does what he pleases, okay? But in that, even within that, though, I think we can also understand this in terms of how would I put this? These disciples, partly because of their just lack of attentiveness, because other people are getting it, right? We're seeing, again, over and over, folks who we think wouldn't get it are getting it, okay? But just because of their lack of attentiveness, cultural biases, whatever it may be, their hearts are being hardened. It's like if you're on this path of doubt or whatever it may be that the disciples are dealing with, this heart is like an inevitable progression of what's going to happen. If you go down this way like this, your hearts will be hardened. Not maybe actively by you yourself, but just step by step by step, that is what happens in this path away from God and where he's at. And I think that's what's happening here with them. They're in danger. This is a dangerous path, this hardening path. And so we should heed this warning. We should learn from this. That this Lord who can calm the sea and can heal that they get who this is. And we're seeing a world that we don't want to harden our hearts to this path, this kingdom that God is giving to us. Now, again, I don't want to be too hard on these disciples. All right? And here's why. A couple areas of mercy I think we can extend to them. One is, and they are, these Jews, as they've been living this life, they have been steeped in this very strong monotheistic religion and life that's in every part of who they are. And Jesus is turning this upside down. He is putting it in complete disarray. Every idea they're having almost of God and who he is and their hopes for Messiah are being upturned and twisted and chopped and scattered and it's hard to handle. I think we can understand that. He's just really rocking the world. We also have us. We have a distinct advantage of knowing the end of the story. All right? And that's another caution in going through a narrative piece is that we know the end, right? And so we put that upon what we're already reading. Can I tell a little story about you? So, my dear wife, and I don't think she does so much anymore, but when we were first married and we were reading a book, I caught her. She had a new book, right? And she's reading it. She got, you know, just a little ways into it. And then she turned to the back and she read the end. And I'm like, what are you doing? I cannot even fathom that. It just, what is going on? She goes, I just couldn't take it. I had to know. And then I can enjoy the rest of the book. Okay. Man, we have that advantage here, folks. All right? And that clouds, in some ways, our reading of this text. That's why, again, I don't want to be hard on the disciples too much. And that's, again, why I think Mark is bringing us along. You can imagine that, you know, again, they're not seeing. And so as you're reading this story, and if you don't know what the end is, you're going, what's going on? And you're seeing this unfold. And so, again, I can have grace for these men. We aren't in that moment. We aren't in that moment of the sea crashing around us. You know? And I wonder, would I react any differently? In my fear. So, we know the end. So, we can have some grace. Thirdly, and quite frankly here, folks, we can be a lot like them too. It's just human fallenness is the same yesterday, today, and forward to until Christ comes again. We are as influenced by our times as they were theirs. Our perceptions of who Jesus is are shaped and influenced by our culture, our world, the things going around us as much today as it was then. As we look even just in our nation, you know, of our culture, this American culture we have, and you look, think about who is Jesus? And there's a range of responses to that. For some, Jesus is that baby in the manger, the Christmas Jesus. Sweet, chubby, baby Jesus. Silent night Jesus, right? That's Jesus. Yeah, I like that Jesus. He's nice. There's serene, the, you know, the picture of Jesus that somebody write of long-haired Caucasian Jesus. You know, very peaceful, serene Jesus. We like that Jesus too, right? That's a nice Jesus. I can handle that Jesus, you know, just, oh, yes, I like that one. Just as a side here, as I think about, you know, again, the influence of that picture that we often associate with Jesus, right? That painting. I went to an art exhibit one time, and it was portrayals of Jesus around the world. And I was surprised in my own reactions to walk through and see black Jesus, right? Asian Jesus, you know, Middle Eastern Jesus, Eskimo Jesus. You know, it's fascinating. Native American Jesus. That, you know, we project ourselves onto our images sometimes, right? And so we need to be jarred sometimes that this Jesus is not made in our image. But we want to make that. I saw a t-shirt once of Jesus, his image of Jesus, with a big American flag behind it. He had just ripped arms. The guy was just buff with a rifle. And I cringe, quite frankly. All right? There's that Jesus. And some people really like that. I like that Jesus too. The kick behind Jesus. Yeah, let's go, Jesus. That's a good American kind of Jesus. Right? But get in all these things. Whatever. Okay? Whatever image you may want to put forth on Jesus, Mark is calling to us, begging us, wants to show us. No, see Jesus. See him. He will show himself to you. Over and over and over again, we're seeing what Jesus really is about. And all these other things we want to put upon him, we have to measure against what we understand here. So I have a hard time with a rifle-bearing Jesus. Because of what I can see here. Now, I also have a hard time with a beautiful cherub Jesus, too. Right? We're not seeing that here either. Right? It's so flat in our perception of Jesus sometimes. We want to make it get comfortable for us. And we're seeing here that Jesus has no desire or intention of making anybody comfortable. He says, come follow me. Come to this path. This is not the comfortable path. And so, again, I have compassion on the disciples. I don't have to look any further than the mirror to see the very same things in me sometimes. But we need to push back against the cultural perceptions of who Jesus is or should be. We need to seek Jesus on his terms. That's what we need to understand. Where this is written, when this is written, how this is written. So we can understand who Jesus is and not go back and put upon something else upon him. That is the importance of a narrative. So my question at this point now is, as we look to wrap this up, is how are you doing this morning? Where are you this morning? As we've talked about these things. Are you struggling against the wind today? Are the waves crashing into you? Are you lonely? Are you just struggling? Do you feel like you're in the dark? Are you feeling unseen? Oh, please take heart today. Jesus sees you. You may feel like your prayers to him are bouncing off the ceiling and slapping you in the face. Jesus sees you. He does. And he loves you. And we can trust him. What has Jesus been seeking this whole time? He's seeking faith. And if you are in that dark place of struggle or doubt, the word tells us faith like a mustard seed. And that analogy is not about the smallest of seed. It's about the greatest of God. It's him. And we can trust him in our struggles. Now, secondly, as you think about where we may be. And again, the warning that we see here is to beware that path of hardening. is a Casting Crowns song that speaks to this, slow change, right? It's just, it's slow, it's subtle. We can grow up in a church and, again, it's, you know, a slight 1 degree difference off a path over time grows. And so the question is, are you hardening? As you consider yourselves, is that something you might see? Now, the hard part with hardening is that by these hardening, we don't see it. Right? Oh boy, I'm getting hardened here. This is terrible. It's difficult to see it, to be aware of it. But the things we need to be aware of, I think, to check ourselves. You know, we may sit here going, no, I'm not hardening my heart, I'm fine. In our examination of ourselves, as we should do with each other even, think about some things. What is most influential or predominant in your lives, in your thoughts, in your activities, in your checkbook? Just think about it. Again, in the whole of life, you know, we hate that word balance, but there is some balance of things. But just what is the overarching? When Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God, this is a life. This is a flourishing place where God is growing and goodness is happening. Is that your life? Is that what you want in your life? Is that what you're thinking about your life? No, in whatever area it may be. All right, because again, we're not talking about just being monks and, you know, securing ourselves off someplace and just sit and ponder our navels and think about God. All right, but do we have a place for God in the normalcy of our lives? In our jobs, in our comings and goings. That's the subtle thing we want to keep in mind. Our time. If you look through your time of a day, how's it spent? Now again, there's a certain amount of time that goes to sleeping. There's a certain amount of time that goes to work. There's a certain amount of time that goes to food preparation, you know, and eating and all these things, right? But even in those things, can we think back, okay, was there an element of awareness of God in those things even? In your job, you're coming and going. That's the thought to have. Because if you get to the end of the day and you think, wow, I did not consider God a bit. And I've been there, okay? I can think, wow, I just got caught up in whatever it was going. That's the thing to be careful of. Because that could be a step on a path to hardening of a heart. All of a sudden, those kind of things aren't important to us at all. Our time, our activities, money, thoughts, all those things can be lived out in the context of God's kingdom. Okay, so I'm not saying, again, uber spiritual, just read your Bible, but do. But overall, can we detect and be aware of a tendency of our hearts to be hard? So we see today, God calls us to rest when need be. We see that God sees us in our struggles, even though we not be aware of it. God does see. God does reveal. And we want to be careful that our hearts do not become hard in the cares of this world and all these things. So lastly, just quickly, how can one cultivate a soft heart then? Well, there are the typical things which I would mention. Prayer, God's word, service and ministry within the body, fellowship. These are the things that guard us in the hardening of our hearts. This is part of the reason we come together like this. That once a week, at least, right? We can come together and just have an awareness, a focus of this is what we're about. And that can carry us throughout our week. If no other way, just that we're thinking, oh hey, I got church coming up. You know, Saturday night when I'm making decisions what I'm going to do or say or whatever it may be, you think, oh, you know, I have church coming up, right? It's just there. That's what we want. We need to be having awareness of our time. Our time can slip by so, so quickly. We have so much distraction available to us. And so I just encourage you to just take a moment and think about your time. How much you dedicate to the activities of your life. You know, I mean, I've had times, you know, I think about going to bed and, you know, just grab my phone and check Facebook and, oh, look at this reel. And honest to goodness, an hour and a half later, I'm sitting there going, what just happened? Right? Our time. It's so easy to be distracted. Be aware of our thoughts. What do we talk about? What is it that comes out of us or is within us? You know, do you find yourself maybe reacting to somebody, you know, in violent way? I mean, even in our thoughts, you know, someone cuts you off or insults you or, you know, yesterday I met with some folks and they're looking to buy a truck and then working on it and they had to go home so they left and they were texting back and forth. And it wasn't quite going the way he wanted it to. You know, he had some questions. And, well, we're trying. And anyway, he sent just this snarky email. And I was totally shocked. And I was about to go, oh, yeah. You know. Oh, nope. Steve, wait a second here, buddy. You know, and I stepped away from my desk. And I just walked away. You know, talked to my manager about the situation. And I said, okay, you know. He said, did you respond to him? I said, no, I had to step back for a second. I didn't want to get back and turn. And I could have. That's what I wanted to do. But, you know, and then I was able to step back and say, okay. And there we go. See, that's what's there. That's the thing we got to be aware of in our hearts. And how we think about, you know, do you think, oh, revenge would be great. It would be great if someone got it back. You know, that's the kind of stuff we want to be aware of. But know also that what is our warning, and I said this at the beginning, is our hope that we do have the advantage of knowing the end of this story. And then we see these bumbling, fumbling disciples. As I look at my own bumbling, fumbling life sometimes, as I look at my own doubts, as I look at my own struggles, as I see my own fears, as I've had seasons of doubt and wondering, does God actually see me? Does He actually care for me? I see this, and knowing the end, I go, yes. That God does work. There is hope. If you have friends, family, children, and you see them, and they're on the wrong path, you know they are. And you wonder, does God see them? Does God understand? Is God going to change them? Yes! He does. That's what He does. And we can have that faith. We can stand in that gap with them. We can know and have the assurance. Has God used these disciples? And by the power of His Spirit, changed them, and because of them, change the world. That same power and assurance is available to us today. So wherever you are today, struggling, doubting, hardening, God is with you. He sees you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful today. The assurance of You and how You are with us. Forgive us, Lord, in our doubts, in our anxieties, in those moments when we may struggle against the wind. Help us, Lord, to remember to have learned from what You've already done and the things we've already seen, and to believe You. And Lord, if there be anyone here who is hardening, I pray, God, that by Your Spirit You would soften. You make it aware and know that the door is open, that there's no distance away from You that is too far. that no matter how far one would turn away from you, how far they have gone away, the second you turn around, you are right there. And in fact, have been there the whole time. And so, Lord, in that confidence, we pray for our friends, our family, ourselves, and ask God that you would work in us. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.